this week's parsha, we find the pasuk talks about Yaakov and Esav. So it tells us that Yaakov was with Ish Tam Yeshev Erlim. It's with Al Darshan that so he's sitting and learning. At the end of the parsha, Rashi makes the whole cheshbon that Esav went to Yishmael, and then ends up marrying the Chos Nevoyos. Why does it mean Yishmael died then? So we do the math. It must be that Yaakov ended up back sitting and learning for another 14 years. So there's a story about a city which hired a Rav, and the Rav was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and the city was the city of Amoratzim. And they were told that this rabbi is a big Talmud Chacham. And the president of the shul came to the rabbi to complain. He says, what's the complaint? He says, you know, there's a rumor going around that the rabbi stays up very late, and he's studying very late at night, and he gets up very early in the morning, and he's studying, and he's always studying, whenever you walk by, the rabbi's in his study, and he's learning. He says, I don't understand, we hired a person who's supposed to be a Talmud Chacham. If you're such a Talmud Chacham, why do you have to keep studying? You know everything already. Apparently, it must be you don't know anything yet, and that's why you keep studying, because you don't know. So it's not what we hired. We hired somebody who knows something. This is the president came to complain to the president of the Kehillah came to complain to the Rav. So how do you explain to this Amoritz what the deal and the kasha is a good kasha, right? So Rosher Feinstein says that whether the story is corroborated or not, but so he went through a Prima Gadim an Aruch Chaim 400 times. Okay, so why do you go through Prima Gadim an Aruch Chaim 400 times? Now, first of all, I mean, that story, if the story is true, they say it's true, if the story is absolutely beyond my ability to comprehend. For those of you who are zeichet to learn halacha, and you learn Yeridaya, and you learn Prima Gadim in Yeridaya, you realize that Prima Gadim Yeridaya was written Derek Kutzara. I mean, he was a poor man. He said it. He was a poor man. He didn't have a lot of money. So he wrote everything b'kitzur. Because he saved on the ink. He wrote his notes b'kitzur. If Prima Gadim and Yeridaya is b'kitzur, Prima Gadim and Aruch Chaim is b'remez. It's not even b'kitzur, it's b'remez. You learn Prima Gadim and Aruch Chaim, you're not even sure what he means. Because you can't figure out what he means. And here, Ramesh is saying that he went through all the Prima Gadim 400 times. To get through it once, I say that's an accomplishment for a lifetime. But what's that kind of shot? Yaakovino was, he goes back to Beis Medrash for 14 years. Like, what did he do for Beis Medrash for 14 years already? So I have all of Shas to learn. Okay, so we learned all of Shas. You learned all of Shas 2 times, 3 times, 5 times, 10 times, he was learning with Baruch Meir. It's like, Baruch Meir's Taka, it could take a very long time to figure out what he means, because Taka writes to say, you clear this way, that way, this way. Yaakovino Pashut, he was a modern day Lamdan. He was spending 14 years going like this, or like this, or like this, or like this, Mustamanat. Right? And already he was a Yoshev Oilim, Chazal Dash and Yoshev Oilim, Oil Shal Shem, Oil Shal Aver. What's this about? There's a Gemara. The Gemara says that one of the Amoraim got very ill. And he had what they would call nowadays a near death experience, where he went to Shemayim and he came back. So he said, his Rebbe asked him, so what do you see there? He says, Oilim Hafach Reisi. Yadim Lamata, Tatarim Lamalo. Tosha says over there, have a Masara, that there was a mice one time that Rabbi Yehuda, the Talmud of Shmuel, one time Shmuel did something wrong, and Rabbi Yehuda had the gumption to correct his Rebbe correctly so. And therefore, in Shemaim, he was Eichel, that Rabbi Yehuda was the Rebbe, and Shmuel was the Talmud. So, Yadim Lamata, Tatarim Lamalo, right? So the alien was lower, the Talmud, that's Tosha says, if you have a Masara, that's what the story is referring to. So he said back, Olam Bora Reisa. It's not Olam Hafak, it's Olam Bora. You said Olam Bora. And in that Olam Bora that you saw, it says, Shemate, I heard Armrim, Asher Mishabod Lakan, Mitzalmuda Beyote. It's more about Basra. Asher Mishabolakan, with Talmudah Beyodah. There's another medrash, Chavos Chaim talks about in a few places, that you know, after a person's niftar, you get a chair. Everybody wants to have it. I mean, everybody. The guy spends time in yeshiva, so you always have this, the guy goes to yeshiva, he has this chalom, one day, you know, he's going to get a chance to have a shtela, you know, be able to say his Torah, etc. Everybody gets a chance. All of you get a chance. 120 years, Bez Hashem, you go to Shemaim, you get the podium. So Chazal, you get the podium, they give you the podium for 180 days. You get up there and you say over what you learned. But you have to stand there for 180 days, whether you have 100 days worth of stuff to say or not. That's what Chazal say. So you get up there, and the first day you say, well, I've done the Toises, you say, well, the Toises is good. Okay, now what? You just stand like this for the next 179 days, just like an absolute idiot. And the Pusha is overwhelming. Right? That's Chavos Chaim brings that Chazal a few times, just to Eris Lavavas. Asher Mishabolakan. Says, fortunate is the person who comes and he has the Talmud, and we've learned a lot. He says, that's not enough. It has to be Talmud B'yodai. Good, so I understand. I have to chazir 10 times. You know, there's a mice to say that the Chaim Lozhar came to the Goyin. He's very upset. You know, that he chazir over Seder Moed 14 times, and he still doesn't have it klor. The Goyin started laughing. That's called learning. 14 times. That's called chazara. The first 14 times is just pasha getting pasha pshat. Now it's a chazara. Right? Yeah. That's what the Gaon said. Okay, good. So, by the 40th time, the Mor says anutzim. Mor says anutzim. Mor says that a person he has it 40 times. How like kimunah bekupsa. Now he passes. He has it in his cash and he has it in his pocket. It's klor. 40 times. Now he has the klor. So why are you learning it the 50th time? Why are you learning it the 60th time? They say the Shagas Aryeh was Zoicha in Bechayev to finish Shas 1,000 times. 1,000 times, finish Shas. I don't know what the words mean. You know what the words mean, you know. But what were they doing? Like, what was pushing them? So there's a famous chazal, which you cannot go through yeshiva without already having heard this chazal at least once in your life. So Mor says, "I'm all of the earth, and we're in the door." Says Alozim is Tarasi. Tarbas has shown that Mor says that he asked this question to the Nabiim, to the Chachamim. They didn't know until they asked the Kadosh Baruch. Kadosh Baruch explained it himself. "I'm all of the earth." Except the Mor says. That nobody can explain why we had the Golus. Actually, Pirshu Kadosh Baruch Hu the Rosh had explained it himself. Versus Hanu l'shomam v'kerli b'lehol chuba, Amrav Yehuda, Amrav Tzarech Lor Meshem. It means Lor Meshem Mevorach Yibatara Tchila. They didn't say Berachas Atara. That's it. They didn't say Berachas Atara. So I say, the Chachamim were Chachamim. Neviim are Neviim. Malachi Asharis are Malachi Asharis. And they looked at the Malachi Asharis looked down and said, "Doesn't make any sense. We have no explanation." So obviously the chesorim which we're talking about was not obvious. Because had it been obvious, the Malachi Asharis would know about it. The Chachamim would be able to figure it out. The Nevi'im would be able to tell you what it is. So we're talking about a chesorim which is not an obvious chesorim. And we need a Kadosh Baruch Hu to come and to be masber. We have to masber what it is. I heard the Rav Dessler says, Gevald in the belt. Version doesn't punish unless we deserve it. If something which I don't know, I don't really have a problem. What do you want from me? I can't fix it. So if the Chachamim don't know, I went to the rabbi. I says, "Rabbi, you know, I really want. Give me mussar. I'm ready to take it. I'm serious." And the rabbi says, "You know what? I'll give you mussar. There's nothing wrong with you." And I go to the Navi, and the Navi says, no, you're fine. I go to the Malachi Asharis, they say, you're Gevaldik, you're Gevaldik. What do you want from me? I went to the Chacham, I went to the Navi, and they didn't say anything wrong with me. I went to the Malachi Asharis, they didn't say anything wrong with me. I said, no, you're going to get punished. I didn't know, I tried. So Desu says that there's a haftacha to a person. If he wants to know the emes, he'll find the emes. If you really, really want, you will figure it out. Even though the chacham can't see it, and the navi can't see it, the malachi sharis can't see it, you can see it. Rav Shatz himself said the same piece. That's this gemara. So what's the problem? They didn't say birchas hatar. Now, So what's the shaila over here? The Rabban holds mitzvah Torah is mitzvah seder ha'isa. It's one of the Torah mitzvahs according to the Rabban. It's not a drabban, it's a deraisa. It's Torah mitzvahs. So they didn't say birchas Torah. So the Chacham didn't know that. According to the Rambam, birchas Torah is not a mitzvah deraisa. It's a tekana drabban. Who said that the Kamer Rabban was in place even by that point in time? I don't know. Okay. The Mor says the brachas were niskin uba'achik and asagadarlo were masakin brachas. This is talking about Bais Rishon. So it means that there wasn't a nusach habracha. Now I mentioned once last year, right? David Melech was masakin mei brachas. David Melech was masakin mei brachas, but they were only masakin brachas in the beginning of Bais Sheni. Teretz is, a person should say it on his own. A person should wake up in the morning. David Melech said, listen, I want you to get up in the morning and say, think about, 100 times they stop and think, you know what, Bershom gave me wonderful things, Bershom, thank you. No special nusuf, no standard nusuf. You got to figure out 100 brachas yourself every single day. And one of them should have been, Bershom, thank you for the Torah. And they didn't do that. That's not an avlo. They didn't say thank you for the Torah. So there's a bach over, it's a famous bach, and I can go through the whole thing because the whole thing is quite long. He says he doesn't understand why we should get such an einish. You lose Eretz Yisrael, you go to Golus, and the Tzoras of Golus, you know what it means, the Tzoras of Golus. Eretz Yisrael was shomim for 52 years. There was lo ever ba'ish, there was no human being who set foot in Eretz Yisrael for 52 years. Total desolation. Because they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. Mikli Tamar Tuba, Lama Yotze, Kazais Melafon of the Hanisha, Ba'onish Godel, Baram Kizel, Shalab Birchu, Batera Tchila, Shalachar Avei Rekala. I'm going to paraphrase this teretz, maybe with a mashal. I mentioned this mashal before. A person gets a letter. This letter is from somebody. This is the days before phones, the day before telegraph. The letter has to travel a long distance, takes a long time. The only way you can have contact with somebody is through a letter. And this letter is from somebody which is very near and dear to them. It's somebody which is they have tremendous haracha for. And they get the letter. So the letter is the only way they have to really connect to that person. The person sent them a message. And they read the letter and it's so wonderful. They hear the message and the person is thinking about them and they have something important to tell them and they want them to do. And they read it, you know, and they think about not just the letter, not the words, but it's a way to connect back to the person who sent them that letter. That person is very near and very dear to them. So they're not going to read it once, they read it twice, they read it three times. Each time they read it, each time they're thinking about the person, one who sent the letter. And it's their way to connect to him and be in touch. And they keep that letter in their pockets, and they pull it out, and they read it. But the problem is, there's something in the letter that doesn't make any sense to them. It's not clear. And it's going to bother them very much. Because this person was very near, very dear to me, sent me a letter, and I don't know what it says. And I'm going to sit there and I'm thinking about it, and I'm trying to understand that it's important to me. Kala gets a letter from a chosan. She doesn't read it once. Her chosan sent her a letter. She reads it twice, she reads it three times. She puts it away in a special place. She picks it up again in a few months from now. A few years again later, she picks it up again. She puts it in a special box under her bed. You know, Pesach cleaning, she finds it. She sits down. Her husband walks in. You know, they're married 10 years. And his wife's sitting on the bed with this dreamy look in her face. She's reading those letters that he sent them. They were chosan kala. They're married already. It's not the gate anymore. The letter's not the gate anymore. It's not the gate anymore. They're married already. They've had good times and bad times. They've grown together. But that was a special letter. It was a chosan sending to the kala. And that letter is going to be eternal. One day the kids are going to find it, you know, and read the letter and see how mushy, you know, their father used to be once upon a time, you know, right? That's the father that I know. Sinished. You know, I don't know. What happened to you? Like, you know, listen, you know, Yankala, what was this? That's, you know, good. After the father tans the kid's hide for reading the letter, but that's besides the point. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent us a letter. The Torah is the very Elam talking to us. How do you connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu? How? What do we have? We can touch him? What do we have which allows us to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu? How is Shaykh Ava? How can you connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Feel that connection. The Ava means the feeling of being connected. The Torah is the very Olam talking to you. It's not Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not Avram Avinu. It's the Bereshit who put those words in the Torah. The words of Avram Avinu in the Torah, because the Bereshit wants you to know those words. It's the Bereshit talking to you. Elam and Siya Shaloi is a Kadosh Baruch Hu talking. The Bereshit wants you to know those words. Because you're important to him and he feels you need to know these words. That's why you learn Gemara. And that's why you sit here and say, I don't understand what the Bereshit is saying. The Yerushalmi says, we hear the Gemara says, look at Omer Mar. Who's the Mar? So Mar is referring back to the Tanna we said earlier. The Yerushalmi says that the word Omer Mar means the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moro Shel Olam. Omer Mar, who's talking? The very Olam is talking through the Tanah. Yosef Salanter, when he used to learn the first mission of Bamitzia, says, Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu Yachloiku. Who said Yachloiku? Who said Yachloiku? The Chacham said Yachloiku. Tar Shabbat Peh? Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu says Yachloiku. You're trying to understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu's words. There's no greater endeavor which exists in the mankind's opportunity to be able to sit and to figure out what God said to us. The Barikal Alomos, the Mamsi Kolon and Soyim, the whole Metzius and Abriya is talking to us. I need to know what he said. I need to know what he said. I can't figure out what he said. It's going to drive me crazy because I need to know what he said. But on top of that, he gave us a way to connect to him. How can we connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Because the Rishon says, you know, human being wants to, they want to connect, they want to have the divine presence in their lives. So without a Kadosh Baruch Hu telling us how to do it, we can't do it. And they make up their temples, and they make up their different types of things that they do, and it's a garnish. You can't
get God on demand. Well, I think if I'm very nice to people, God, I mean God-like, okay? You know, you decided how God should work. Rashi says, excuse me, please don't tell me how I should work. I'll tell you how I work. I say, you do this, I come to you. And if you do you don't do this, I don't come to you. Well, no. The main thing is being nice. And that's what I mean. That's what God wants. Well, you have a direct line to God, and God came to you last night and told you this is the way it is. It's not true. It's not true. We do have a direct line to God. He told us in the Torah how to do it. But he's talking to us in the Torah. So I take out the bed, I sit on the bed with that dreamy smell and say, wow, God's talking to me. I'm chushing enough that I got a letter from God. Imagine, I mean, okay, nowadays, I'm sorry, it would be an email. And once there was an article, I don't know, about 10 years ago, called The Email from Hashem. Person says, he's sitting there, he's davening with Baruch Shalom. I really need to know what I need to work on. And it's just, Baruch Shalom, please give me a sign, the divine sign. What I need to work on. I need to see after the Shemaya. So next morning he wakes up and there's his computer, there's the email signed, your loving Father in Heaven, please work on X. See, there's one of your friends pulling a prank, right? Every person's talking to you. I had a mice of the Dihab of the, this was back in 1989. My shirt has a joke. Says a fellow came once, walked into the White House. This goes back in the days of the Cold War. You can't really appreciate the joke until you remember the days of the Cold War. And he walks into the president's office and he sees in the president's office there's three phones over there. There's a red phone, there's a white phone, there's a blue phone. So he asks him, what are the three phones for? He says, so the white phone is for the regular phone calls, the red phone is the hotline, direct hotline to Moscow, and the blue phone is for calls to heaven. He says, may I use the blue phone? He says, yes, please use the blue phone. He uses the blue phone. Afterwards, he gets a bill. So it's $200. It's a long-distance call to heaven. It costs money. Good. A little while later, he's in Moscow, and he sees his three phones on the desk. There's a red phone, there's a white phone, there's a blue phone. What are the phones for? The same thing. He says, can I use the blue phone? He uses the blue phone and gets a bill. It's for $500. He says, $500 from Moscow to heaven is a very long-distance phone. Okay, a little while later, he's in Yerushalayim, in the Prime Minister's office, and there's three phones. And he says, what are the three phones? The white one is, the red line is a hotline directly to Moscow and to Washington, and the blue phone is direct line to heaven. Can I use the blue phone? Yes. 25 cents, please. It's a local call. Okay. I'm in Yerushalayim, HaKodesh, in 1989. I went for Yom to the Pesach. And the day before I left, I went to the Kursal to say goodbye, to have a conversation with my Creator. And I davened there while I'm there. The Baruch Hashem happens. It's in the Baruch Hashem, which I really feel I need Siyata Deshmaya to work on, and I need Baruch Hashem, please give me Siyata Deshmaya to work on. This private conversation to me and my Creator, and Baruch Hashem, nobody else is listening. I wasn't saying a lot of anybody should be able to hear me. I'm walking out, so Yerushalayim is a wonderful place. So Yid walks over to me, says, Shalom Aleichem, Yid. Vana Kumta Yid. I saw him, I came from Cleveland. He says, Cleveland. He was in the Cleveland Clinic, and he knows this person and that person, etc. He says, I want to share something with you. He says, give me Musar on that topic that I dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu about. For 20 minutes straight. Like, out of the blue. Out of the blue, yeah. And he goes after me, Mom, I never met the person before in my life. I never saw him before in my life. And he's going into me, he's lacing into me. It's only like Yerushalmi Yid could do. He's lacing into me on this top. Okay, good. So I'm just taking it in, local call. And, he's like, you dial the call and you get your answer right away. And the kids are saying, I get on the bus. Now, remember, I had to pay all the niyam along the way. This guy didn't pay any of the niyam along the way because he's one of them anyway. So he got there first. So I sit down on the bus and he's there already this year. He says, you go manche kume here. So he said, all the zetzer habek. And he starts going after me again. I say, good, okay. Good. So I asked him, where am I going? I'm going to Rabbi Yashar. So he says, I'll take you there. Good. So to get there, it turns out he doesn't have nice hours. I'm going to turn a little while, so I'm going to go somewhere else. So he goes his way. I go my way. I'm walking down the streets. You know, and this, you know, there's Billy Shulimer Curtis, it's in Meir Sharm over there, and there's little Simtos. A fellow grabs me by the arm, pulls me into a Simto, and starts giving me Musser on that topic. I started physically shaking. I started trembling. It's a local call. You ask, you get. And that's not a black gemara. That's not the Baruch I'm talking to you. The Baruch is talking to you. The Baruch is talking to you. Every pasuk chumash, the Baruch is talking to you. He has a message for you. There's a message, there's a miyuchad for you, because you, with your kaiches hanefesh, and you, with your understanding, and you, with your background, and you, with your unique talents, will find the message in that pasuk, which nobody else will find, because the Baruch is talking to you. And it's important that you find it, and it's a tremendous chus that you found it. And if you understand that, you can't let go of that pasuk. I learned the pasuk. Bereshit spoke to me. I got a communication from God. I can tell you the story now. It's 1989 to now. It's 23 years. That story still, I still tremble when I think about that story, because Bereshit spoke to me. It was clear to me the Bereshit speaking. I asked for Siyata Deshmaya on a certain area, and the Bereshit gave it to me. I was kosher enough to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I was kosher enough to Kodesh Baruch Hu that he sent two people out of the blue to talk to me on this topic. It's like wild, right? And that's what a pasuk chumash is. And that's what a prima gadim in Aruch Chaim is. We had those four kids came here last night. Right? They want to know. They want to. They're doing a project for their school. I'm not sure what the project was supposed to be. They blew it. They're supposed to go to a church to a sermon. They're supposed to come here for the sermon. The service is in Hebrew. Anyway, for not Jewish kids. Says, well, you just want to say, what do you believe in? Like, what is your belief about your religion? My belief in my religion is life. The Russian has a message for every single moment what I'm supposed to be doing. Aruch Chaim is not just a set of rules. It's Kodesh Baruch Hu talking to me about how I'm supposed to live my life. And Eben Ezer and Chasher Mishpat and Yeredeya. It's Kodesh Baruch Hu talking to me. It's a tremendous responsibility. It's a tremendous chus. And I want to know, I happen to want to know what God said. You know, that's like, there's no greater calling in life to know than what the Creator spoke to you. If you got a Nevuah right now, I mean, okay, it's a different child because Nevuah only goes to Shaitan, but okay, but, right? In the Bizman, that Nevuah existed. A person gets a Nevuah. He couldn't go eat breakfast afterwards. Okay, well, Nevuah for today, let's have breakfast. Right? He was so excited, he couldn't eat breakfast afterwards. Like, you know, I mean, Lahavdol, like a billion Havdol is like, you know, a guy who has a sports hero. Spoke to him. He can't go eat a hot dog afterwards. He's like, wow, he spoke to me. And he tells his friend and he calls him up and he twitters and he tweets and he throws what now. The guy spoke to me, you know. The Bereshit doesn't deserve the same treatment. That's what a black gemara is. And you read it once, and you read it twice. God's speaking to you. The very Olam is speaking to you. The Creator is speaking to you. The Matzik Kol Nimsoim is speaking to you. There's nothing greater in the world than to be able to connect. I can't let go of it. They say from Rav Zalman Volozhiner, Rav Chaim's brother, was from a tremendous coin. They saw him like sitting, learning that base of brachas. Day after day after day, causing that phase of brachas. I said, what's going on? He says, listen, there's a chiyuv to learn Kol Torah Kulo. Baruch Hashem, I'm a zayich, I have a good head, I've learned Kol Torah Kulo. So I've done that already. How can you leave that phase of brachas? It's so geschmack, I can't go weiter. I can't go weiter, it's so geschmack. It's like a kokosh cake, you know? Like, you can't let go of it. I can't let go of it. I can't go weiter. So, okay, yeah, but you got to go right there because you need to know Daf Gimel. Okay, I know Daf Gimel already. I know Daf Dalet already. I know all my sleep and all backwards and forwards. I can't go on that base. Yaakovina says,
I'm about to leave the house of Yitzchok and I'm going to go to Lavan. I need a little more of that, you know, that. Finish with one ma'isa. Finish with the ma'isa. Yeshiva told us a ma'isa. There's a young man came to Yeshiva back in the early 70s. From Cleveland. Family's a little more modern family. And he came in through Gifter. They tried through Gifter. He could do this. He came through Gifter. He says, you know, Rabbi, I just want to sit in the Yeshiva. I'm only here for 1 year. That's very clear. And then after this, I'm going to college and I'm doing my thing. Okay? It's fine. It's about 2 or 3 months into the year. He says, Rabbi, I don't understand. I'm only here for 1 year. Like, I should be learning like halacha lemaisa, what to do, etc. Why am I learning Rashbas? He says, you know what? You're getting to see the Rashbas perspective on life. That's what Gifter answered. No, he leaves the year, goes off to college. About 2 months later, he's back in yeshiva. He says, Moshe, what happened? He says, Rabbi, I'll tell you. This is the 70s, you know. So I went into my class. It was philosophy class. And I walk in the first day. I walk in. And the professor is this guy with long hair. And the room is dark. And there's incense burning in the four corners. And the guy comes in and he sits down with his long beads. He sits down on the table. And he says, you know what? I said, I need some more of the Rashba's perspective on life. I think I better come back to yeshiva for another year. Moshe Levi Spiro. Okay? It's the Rashba's perspective on life. It's the Rashba's perspective on life. That's the schus that it means. It's Menesh Amor Ablak Amor. Tremendous schus. Tremendous opportunity. It's the Sipuk HaNefesh of learning the Rashba's. It's the Rashba's Torah. It's not the Shtikal Torah and the Rai and the this and that. It's the Bereshim talking to you. It's the Chassan's letter to the Kala. That's what it means. And that's the Bracha that we're supposed to say. If we were to hear who's talking to us, Al Ozam is Torah Si. That they let go of the Bereshim's Torah. The Shtikal Torah they said, the Kasha, the Torah, everything they said. But it's the Bereshim's Torah. And so Bereshim was speaking to them, that they lost. Now there's no bracha to say. What's special about that? That's Eretz Yisrael we have in the schus, that we understand that it's a special relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that relationship is given to us in the vehicle of Torah. You don't understand that, you don't have Eretz Yisrael. That's what Yaakov understood. I need that perspective. Before I go to Lovins with his long hair and the incense in the corners, I need 14 years of the Rebbe's perspective on life.